Father, to give you the glory
for everything that will be done in our hearts today. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
If you will take your Bibles and turn over to 1 John chapter 3.
1 John chapter 3. We want to talk a little today about the evidences of a true believer. 1 John chapter 3 starts out by saying, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Well, first of all, and one good point I want to make here is this. Aliens are not extraterrestrials that we see on Star Wars or some of the other sci-fi movies. They're not some unknown life form that has been dreamt up in the land of Hollywood or the movies. Aliens are Christians that know the Lord Jesus as Savior. That makes you an alien, and that makes me an alien. And because of that, the world does not know us, because we are not known of this world. Romans 8:16-17 tells us that we are the children of God, and that we are heirs of God, and we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Now, just imagine a little bit here, if you will, how much God owns. How much does he own? He owns everything. Everything. And we are heirs of all that he owns. But not only that, but we share in this heirship with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Jesus. That's good news. That, amen, is good news. Now we'll go on here, chapter 3 of 1 John, and verse number 2. It says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Just as he is, we will be like him. 1 John 4:17 tells us, "Herein is our love made perfect or mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." We're just like him in this world. And in the day of judgment, when we stand before him, we'll have boldness, because we'll be just like him. As he is, we will be made to appear like him. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16 about us, it says that we have the mind of Christ. That's a different kind of a mind. It's not a mind that everyone can just pick up and decide to use and think with. It's a mind that's given by the power of God and presence of the Holy Ghost and Jesus Christ in our lives. And once he comes in, he gives us a mind transplant, if you will. We get a change of mind. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, that he is a new creature, that all things are passed away, and look, or behold, all things are become new. And so we have the mind of Christ as well. These are the wonderful things that God has already shown us that he's given to us. And verse 3 says, "And every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure." In other words, every man that is hoping for this to be so in his life, every man who embraces it to be so in his life, makes himself pure. He makes himself clean. He sanctifies himself. Now, it goes on and says, "Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested or shown to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him." Now, I want to put your mind at ease, because I can imagine right now you're saying, "Oh my God, I must not be born of him because I sin.
I must not belong to him because I continue to make these errors. I continue to do that which is not right. And I continue to so-called, as we say, mess up. But I want to put your mind at ease today, because when it speaks of sinning in this situation, it speaks of habit. It speaks of a habitual practice of sin, something that you go after to do on a regular basis. He that sins, that makes sin a practice. He who makes sin is something that is to be gone after, something that he would desire and has a great desire to participate in on a regular basis. The ones that practice it, that's what this is talking about. And it says in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Now, 1 John 1, 8 clearly tells us that if we say that we are without sin, that we are a liar and the truth is not in us. But thank God for the next verse, because the next verse says, but if we will confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so, yes, we must agree with the scripture that, yes, we have this sin issue. As long as we're in this body, and Paul calls it in the last verse of Romans chapter 7, he says, woe is me, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? So Paul himself identified in Romans 7, he said, the things that I do, I do not. The things that I would not, that I do. If I do the things that I would not do, I consent that the law is good. And he struggled with this. And he was back and forth with it and wrestling with this sin situation. He says, with my mind, I serve the law of God. But with my flesh, he said, I serve the law of sin. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you're walking in the flesh and practicing your fleshly deeds and practicing sin, you're serving, not serving the law of God. You're serving the law of sin. And so what you don't want to be is a servant of the law of sin, which is what Paul mentioned in Romans 7. And so now it goes on and it says here, and I read it previously, that in verse 8, he that committeth sin, I'm sorry, in verse 7, it says little children. Little children is a very tender term. It is very tender. And it says, O little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. Even as who is righteous? Even as Jesus is righteous. And so what this means is, he that works and often replaces his sinful practice with righteous practices is considered righteous, even as Jesus himself is righteous. And so this is again about the habitual practice, the habitual manner in which we live our lives. If we go after sin, then we're going to be considered just sinful. But if we go after righteousness and replace our sinful practices with righteousness and fight the good fight of faith to move the practice of sin to the side and replace it with the practice of righteousness, the Bible says we are considered righteous. Now, that's good news. It's good news. Now, verse 8 says that he that commits sin is of the devil. So that means you're being led by the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now listen, I don't want you to think that the devil is sitting next to you in that chair or sitting next to you on that couch and he's bothering you on a constant basis and trying to make you... Listen, you're in a world that the Bible says is under the domain or the control of what's called the god of this world. So everything you do in this world, everywhere you go in this world, you're going to be hit with of the influence of Satan in this world, or if we will, the devil in this world. The influence surrounds us. And so if we bow to the influence and allow those influences to have effect on us, then we could be said to being of the devil. That is, we are working with the devil. We are on his payroll, if you will. If there's such a thing, payroll, the wages of sin is death. So you don't want to be on that particular payroll.
But that's why it says that this is why the same very reason that Jesus Christ was manifested. Why? So that he might destroy the works, the activities of the devil, to destroy the practices of sin. Whosoever is born of God does not sin, the Bible says, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That means he is compelled by the new nature, the new creature that one becomes when Jesus Christ moves in and becomes Lord of his life. That same nature compels him to live and move in righteousness and away from sin. The Bible says that when Jesus was baptized, that one of the works of the Holy Ghost was to drive him into the wilderness for the purpose of being tested or tempted by the devil. He had to set himself up. He had to begin his ministry there right in the wilderness. But what I'm pointing to is the operation and how the Spirit has the tendency. He can drive you in areas that are acceptable unto God. And so we are compelled. It says, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever does not do righteousness is just not of God. Neither he that loves not his brother. Now it's gone, and it's taking a whole other turn now. First it was talking about sin and righteousness, and then it throws another wrinkle in here that's so very important to our Lord. It says, even if you don't love your brother, if you don't love your brother, if you don't do righteousness, you're not of God. Also, if you don't love your brother, you're not of God. Verse 11 says, for this is the message or the commandment that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should. It's a commandment. He says, this is what you will do. You should do. You better do it. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew or killed his brother. Wherefore slew he him, the Bible says? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. Cain's work was so dark and so evil and so hateful that when his brother performed works of righteousness, Cain himself couldn't stand it anymore, and he killed his brother because of his brother's righteousness. Well, Jesus was killed by his brothers as well, for he came into his own, and his own received him not. And so Cain was a type or a shadow of a type of the coming of Christ, even in the early book of the Bible called Genesis. It was because of his brother's righteousness. He says, marvel not. Don't be surprised, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loves not his brother abides or remains in death. In other words, you're not saved. You're still in death. You're still not belong to Christ. It is impossible to belong to Christ and not love your brother in Christ. It's not. It's impossible. And if you say you're in Christ and you can't stand your brother, or you hate your brother, my friend, this Bible says that you're still in this condition called death. And whosoever hates his brother is a murderer. Oh, my goodness. The law says thou should not commit murder. And he says he's a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath or possesses eternal life that lives or abides in him. Verse 16 says, hereby receive we the love of God. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. Listen, it says, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Well, I can hear the protest now saying, not me, that he won't lay his life down for me. Why would I lay my life down for him? That's the difference. That's the difference right there. Jesus Christ came and laid his life down for a sinful, fallen, no good otherwise world of men and women, including you and me. But he still came and did it. He thought it not robbery, being equal to God, but he humbled himself, being found, the Bible says, in the fashion of a man. In the fashion of a man. And he humbled himself to death. It says, yea, even the death of the cross. And the same way, it says that this is the same way that we should also lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's good and sees his brother have need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, the question is, how does the love of God exist in you? How does the love of God dwell in you? It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's telling us that we should practice a lifestyle of love in action. In other words, anybody can say, I love you, and it so easily falls off the lips of most anyone to say, I love this one, I love that one. But listen, I can hear what you do so much louder than I can hear what you say. Listen, talk is cheap. Anybody can talk, but listen, truth walks. And the language of love is found in the actions of the one who says, I love you. In other words, I can see your love for me by your actions towards me. And you should be able to see my love for you by my actions towards you. Listen, one of the most important things about love is to be truthful with one another. And I imagine you say, well, you know, this man is just barking and up and down about this, and I'm almost tired of hearing him, but I'm trying to just trying to share the truth. Now, a good friend or someone that loves you will not let you walk into error or walk off a cliff or go do something that's harmful because he or she loves you. They'll tell you the truth. They'll say, don't do that. You need to stop that. Now, you need to listen to this. This is wisdom. And they'll give these things to you. Well, the thing about that is most people want to do what they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it. Nobody's going to tell them how to do it. And they're going to continue on and want to continue on that way. And it turns out that the one that loves them the most winds up being hated by them, only because he's trying or she's trying to show you love. And the person that does that winds up sitting over somewhere by themselves and said, I was just trying to help them because I don't want to see this happen. I don't want to see that happen. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. In all things. In other words, if our heart blames us, if our heart puts us down, the Bible says God is greater than our hearts. We may question, but God knows our hearts. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And thank God for the confidence. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. And so Romans tells us that there is no condemnation against those who are in Christ Jesus, and we must walk by the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Back here in 1 John 3, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, not in man's sight, not even in our own sight, but we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And so our answered prayer is affected by that. It's the benefit of loving properly. As we love properly and love one another properly and handle one another properly and receive from one another properly, as we move properly in that area, then we are guaranteed answered prayer. That's what the scripture is telling us. And this, the Bible says, is the commandment that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he, Jesus Christ, gave us commandments. This is it. This whole chapter is about this. I know it started out just saying, beloved, dear, what manner of love the Father has towards us that we should be called the sons of God. But now here is the focus of it. It's coming on down, coming on home now, and coming down to the last leg and saying, this is the whole thing here. Love one another. This is the commandment that we should believe on the name of the Son. Of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keeps his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 4:12 tells us, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth or lives in us, and his love is perfected or made mature in us. In other words, it reaches its intended goal in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And so, again, in closing here in verse 24 of 1 John 3, it says, and he that keepeth his commandments. What commandments? That we love one another. If we do that, if we keep his commandments, that means we live or we dwell or we walk. He said in one verse, he said, to abide in me, that we dwell in him, and he dwells in the individual that keeps the commandments. And hereby we know. And in other words, it's by this that we know that he remains or lives in us by the Spirit. We know it by the Spirit which God has given us because of the presence of his Son, Jesus Christ, in our lives. And to that I said, praise God, thank you, Jesus, and amen. Glory to your name. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word today, for speaking to our hearts concerning the manner of a commandment that you've given for us to love one another. Now teach us, Lord, to do this. Teach us to love one another and to walk, Lord, hand in hand with one another. And that we might learn to tolerate and to work with one another. And you, as you teach us by your Spirit. Father, move in our midst. We thank you once again for all you do and for who you are. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. God bless you.